Welcome to Revisit Ed, a podcast of RedefineOnline.org, catching up on some of our favorite stories behind the new definition of public education. On this episode, Step Up for Students President Doug Tuthill catches up with Dr. Louis Al Gaze, Executive Director of the nation's largest online learning platform, the Florida Virtual School. Since their last conversation in May, how have things gone for FLVS? What's went well? What are the improvement opportunities? And how are they planning for an uncertain education future? Those questions and more on this episode of Revisit Ed. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Okay, we're excited to have Dr. Louis Al Gaze back with us, who is the CEO and president of the country's most important virtual school, the Florida Virtual School. Welcome, Louis.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Last time we talked, it was early May, and you guys were scrambling to get ready for the fall and finish the spring, and you were building infrastructure to handle, I think, up to 2 million students. So I'm just curious how things have gone. What's gone really well? What have been your improvement opportunities? What are some things that might have surprised you? So just sort of a status update. How are things today?
Sure. So we actually expanded up to 4 million students in order to be able to provide our content to okay. them in their own LMSs. And our own LMS, we also increased the capacity to several hundred thousand students within just Florida in order to keep up with the demand, because there has been, as you mentioned, a huge demand. What surprised me the most is the last minute jump on of families wanting to take the classes virtually, even after the school years had started in many of the districts. And then they pivoted and came to us. So we had a huge influx at the last minute. So we've had to hire even more teachers and prepare to get all those kids on board as well.
When you say a huge influx, can you give me an example of some instances of how big is that? Is it 1,000 kids? Is it 10,000 kids? I mean, what did you see?
Well, in our full-time program, we have about a 64% increase, about 3,700 more students
wow.
than we've had in the past. And in flex, we have a 61% increase with over 228,000 course requests, which is individual courses.
Wow.
In many of those cases, the elementary school, we've had a whole lot of uptake there. Actually, that's been our biggest growth in our Flex Elementary.
Wow, that's a lot of growth. Obviously, it's true in Florida, but I'm sure it's around the country. A lot of teachers in brick and mortar buildings are really struggling with this transition. In their defense, they've never been trained to teach online. A lot of them are having to teach in class and online at the same time, and they're certainly not prepared to do that. It's been really messy out there. So I presume there's a good chance you're going to continue to have influx of students. Are you guys continuing to prepare that this growth might continue for a while?
Yeah, so we were actually just talking about that the other day. And we're also expecting possibly a drop-off as well as COVID starts waning and maybe parents want to get their kids back in the brick-and-mortar schools. And so we're preparing for that as well. I mean, it's all about choice. You know, wherever the parents want to put their kids is what we're trying to help accommodate. But we also have to prepare for it to make sure that we're not overextending ourselves. We're not going to have a whole lot of students second half of the year, possibly. I'm seeing a lot of parents who are deciding they want to stay, from what I've heard anecdotally in many cases, and not necessarily all of these in terms of those massive numbers I just told you, but there are some families that have decided this is the better choice for their kid, probably for the rest of this year at least, and you know, then they'll make other decisions in the future. But again, it's their choice, and we have to be prepared to honor that choice one way or the other.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the future, because there's a lot of speculation about, you know, what this portends for moving forward. Obviously, we're never going to go back to January 2020. I mean, there's some of this is certainly permanent. There's, as you know, there's this huge movement towards learning pods and micro schools and homeschool co-ops, and you know, the nature of work is changing as families, as workers increasingly get comfortable working from home, and so there's a lot of dialogue about, you know, people working from home more, therefore maybe, you know, wanting their kids homeschooled a little bit more as opposed to full-time brick and mortar. Do you have any sense of what this might look like moving forward? When you guys think about your longer range plans, how has this affected your planning? What are you thinking about next year, the year after that, the year after that? What kind of dialogue are you guys having within your team?
I mean, there's going to be a different appetite than there has in the past for online learning. There's a lot of flexibility that folks are realizing now. It may not have been what they thought it was. Like in, a lot of people, when they think of virtual learning, they think of exactly the hybrid model that you referred to, with the teachers having to teach in class and then at the same time online. So they picture a teacher teaching in front of a blackboard being recorded, and that's what the kid is being is receiving in terms of lessons. Whereas really what it is, the way we do it, is more an interactive textbook, let's say, where the material is there based on the standards of what the kid's supposed to learn, and they go through that material, they have to read through that material, do the activities, listen to the activities, watch videos, whatever it is, there's a bunch of different activities involved, and it's an interactive type of scenario where the student is then being assessed along the way if they've picked up and learned those standards that they were supposed to learn. And then if there's any difficulty, in our case, for instance, with our full-time school or our flex program, the teacher's there for them to reach out to and immediately get some help in the specific instance of what they need. So in the future, and it's similar to what our franchise model is, where we provide the content to the districts, and then the districts use their own teachers to do the same thing that we're doing with our flex program. I think it's going to expand more to be what the teachers are doing in the classrooms, where the content would be something like what we have. The students will have one-on-one digital access. They'll be able to get the content through the computers, and then have the teachers to reach out to work on specifically what it is that they don't know. It's really differentiated instruction. It's instruction that's targeted to where the kid needs the assistance in the learning of the standard. So we're looking at ourselves more as possibly being available as an instructional material for school districts in the future, so that the school districts can have a standard. So if a kid moves from one teacher to another, they're in the same place. They're not starting all over. They're not in a different spot. There's a lot more standardization of what the student might be learning, because it's really focused on what they are and are not learning, as opposed to maintaining a pace that the whole class is moving at.
And you just articulated the fact that there could be in the future this sort of merger, really, because historically we thought of FLVS as sort of separate from the district schools. I mean, sometimes they use your learning management system, but I'm hearing you say that the whole competency-based model that you guys work on might begin to bleed into the district schools and their how they run their day-to-day classrooms. That's pretty much what you're seeing.
And who knows in the future? Again, I can't speak to this because it'd be a whole legislative movement, but everybody might get paid for completion of courses as opposed to just seat time and you know, signing up, where you actually have to prove that you've learned the content that you're supposed to learn.
Well, as a former union president, I can tell you that would be an interesting conversation. But it's funny because we've been having the same kind of conversations inside Step Up. You know, what should we be thinking about in terms of legislation? How much more flexibility can we give families with their scholarship dollars so that they have the ability to be as flexible as possible? And then we've also talked about, as we move away from seat time, you know, what does that look like in terms of accountability for the scholarship funding and for how money is spent? So we're having exactly the same conversations. And I suspect it's going to take a while for us to figure out, all of us collectively, to figure out how the policy needs to evolve, because there will be a lot of challenges. These are massive systems, and changing is going to be a challenge. But you guys are in a really good position because you've been doing this for a long time, and I do think we're all in a position to learn from you, including things like how do you manage a budget when you only get paid once the kids complete the course? I mean, that's a management challenge that I'm sure you guys have.
It is, yeah. It's you know, the whole projections. It's a science and an art, because it is a slippery to grasp at times, because there's just so many variables, you know, that go into it. So we really do count on, you know, historical progress and trends and regression analysis and things like that to make sure that we're getting it, and we're updating it constantly. you know, looking at our numbers constantly to get a better idea. And let me tell you, our finance people are awesome. They really do a good job of tracking it and predicting, and they come very, very close between our finance and our analytical folks. They come very close to being right on target every single year. We're here to serve, and we take all comers. So as long as we're able to provide what they need, we're going to go ahead and make ourselves available.